Welcome to Deeply Disturbing Things,
the podcast.
I'm Naomi.
And I'm Macy, and we're two professional counselors with over 20 plus years counseling experience who like to talk about lots of weird, gross, disgusting, scary, and sometimes just abnormal things.
Yeah, and sometimes it's deeply disturbing, and sometimes it's only mildly disturbing, or sometimes it's medium disturbing. You just never know.
We never know sometimes, too.
We never know either.
One of the things that we do is we don't tell each other our topics, typically, ahead of time, and we research it in advance, things that we don't know about ahead of time, because it's fun, because normally we're psychology nerds, so we get to kind of put this fresh look at these different stories.
That's right, and we go live, and we do not edit, and we are unscripted. So sometimes that means a lot of apologizing for things that come out of
our mouths. Or accepting that we're not going to apologize for something that people want us to apologize for.
This podcast offers a lot of opportunities for introspection, aka sleepless nights, stressing about if I said something I shouldn't have said, waiting to rehear it 5 days later so I could be the judge on if it was really that bad or not.
We actually did our last one over Zoom only and just recorded it, and we didn't do a live show, and like the stress level is much lower when it's not live, but it's easier to record this way.
And it was a big fail. We had these plans to post this video on Facebook or YouTube or both, and it was long.
You're saying that it was a fail, but did you actually, because you told me you were going to post it, right?
I tried uploading that motherfucker for like 10 hours overnight, and it just
Why didn't it work? Send it to me?
So I would have had to break it up into about 16 pieces and then upload part one, part two, part three. I just didn't seem like it was worth it.
Okay. So, send me the video and I'll make a little montage.
It was an idea. We tried, we experimented, you know, branching out, trying new things, but we're back to our quarantine podcasting from two different locations. We can see each other over Zoom. So that's nice to have that connection. Human eye contact.
Yeah. Speaking of, this quarantine phase is now, I'm now at the point of my doing so many video calls for work, for my private practice. I mean, even this now, like I'm spending so much time on the computer, just staring at my screen and at myself.
Exhausting. And so I got these new glasses from Amazon today. They're the ones that block out like the blue light.
Yeah, I have those too.
Because I was getting headaches from staring at my screen so much. Do you like them? Do you think they're sexy?
Yes, they're very sexy.
Thank you. So happy 420 2020.
Yeah, happy 420. I took today off, but I didn't realize.
For those of you that partake.
Because it was 420.
It's 420 2020. That's a lot of
20s. Yeah, 420 2020, to the extreme.
I don't partake in the 420 lifestyle, but I do not judge those that do.
I would be too paranoid.
And my address is actually 420, so I live it.
You live it, you breathe it.
420, yo. That's all right. Did you hear that they're filling up the skate parks in California with like 37 tons of sand so the skaters won't use them?
What? Really?
Yeah. Doesn't that seem like a bit extreme?
Well, yeah. They're never going to get all that sand out of there. It's going to end up in everybody's like bearings. Sucks.
Yeah. I mean, it really brought out my old, because I used to, when I skateboarded, in the 80s, that was when the whole skateboarding is not a crime movement came out. So it really brought in my inner, like, fuck off authority-ness. So, yeah. So my kids both skate.
They're just making that, a giant playground sand pit.
Yeah, no, they brought in heavy equipment and scooped the sand into, like, the Venice Beach skate park. And there was another one that they did the same thing to. I mean, I do think it's a bit extreme.
A bit overkill.
Yeah. I think it would be really funny if the skaters all got together in the middle of the night and, like, vacuumed it all out.
I don't think they're going to do that.
So I went on the weekend to see if they'd done anything loud extreme to our skate park up in Hilliard, and they had not. And there were people using it. So, I mean, I kind of get, I get from a logical standpoint
why it matters. Why
they would want to do that. But I don't think that it's, you have to fill it in with sand. I mean, that's such a, like a asshole statement to make.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think that the term ditch witch is offensive?
Ditch witch? I don't know. I guess it depends on the context.
So when I go running, I go by this construction site, and one of the pieces of equipment is called a ditch witch.
Ditch witch.
Every time I run by, I'm like, is that offensive? I'm not sure. And I decided I was going to ask you to see what you thought.
At first I thought you were going to say someone called you a ditch witch. And I said, my gut response would be to take that offensively. I don't know what it means, but it's offensive.
I'm just wondering if this has, you know, something to do with like the long patriarchal system, not understanding women, you know, oppressing them in their mysterious ditch digging ways. I don't know.
Maybe it's meant to be like the ditch wizard or the ditch magic, but it's the ditch witch because it rhymes. Could be called the ditch bitch.
I like ditch bitch better.
I like ditch bitch too.
Maybe next time I go running, I'll bring a little can of spray paint and cover over that W with a B, and then we'll see what happens.
Wow, you're so rebellious. Do some graffiti.
I'm doing it now. It's a thing. I just had one more quick check-in.
Yeah, go for
it. So this is just like an update on a case I did a while back, our local Idaho case with the missing children.
Yeah, the mom and the...
JJ and Tylee that haven't been seen since September. So the mom, Lori Vallow, and her husband, Chad Daybell, are now being investigated officially into the death of his wife, Tammy Daybell. So they've exhumed her body and they're doing an autopsy and things like that. And some recent evidence came out that showed that he had purchased Tammy's wedding ring on Amazon before Tammy had died. So I have a couple concerns there. First of all, that shows that maybe they had reason to want her out of the picture. Second, anybody fucking buys me a wedding ring on Amazon, I'm not getting married to them. What in the actual fuck?
Yeah, Amazon wedding rings. It's kind of like if you were to, I don't know. There's just some things that aren't, you shouldn't buy on Amazon.
There certainly are. Wedding rings are up there on my list. I didn't realize that was even a thing.
Honestly, I don't think I ever thought of that before, but yeah, I mean, odds are you're going to get ripped off. I mean, for sure.
Well, you never really know what you're going to get on Amazon, right?
Yeah,
it's always a crapshoot.
And like, is it the Amazon seller? So like there's somebody from Amazon that makes these wedding rings. It's better than, so I've heard people who work at Amazon who said that like they in the warehouses and they have never before had to like package so many dildos. Like it's something like people buy a ton of them on Amazon because it feels like secret, like people don't know that you're ordering it. And but what you forget is there's a warehouse worker who's like filling your order.
And do you think sales of dildos are up right now in our shelter in place?
I mean, I wouldn't doubt it. It makes logical sense.
People are bored at home looking for things to do. I mean, that's a decent way to pass the time.
Yeah.
Who gets to go first tonight?
I think it's me because I talked about the horrible rapist otters at the end.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Those have creeped me out for a while. I'm never going to look at an otter the same.
The furry fiends from
what otter nonsense.
Oh my God, that was so punny.
So yes, I'm gonna go first, and my topic today is actually one that you touched on briefly when you were talking about your scary elevator. Where was that from? Your scary story, not story,
From
game.
Korea,
The Korea one, yeah.
mainly, yeah, an elevator game, a ritual to go to the other side.
The other side. So I'm going to talk about, and I think her name is pronounced, let's see, I think it's Elisa
Yeah, I think
Lamb.
I've heard it, Elisa. Yeah,
Elisa Lamb.
I'm so
So,
excited about this topic
are
because
you?
I'm really interested, and actually, I'm removing it from my topic to-do list from my phone right now as we speak because I've had
Perfect.
it on there because it's a really good one.
Yeah, it's really interesting. So I chose this one, and I even had to check in with you to see if we had done this ever before because it was ringing an odd bell in my head. But then I realized you had mentioned it in your game
You
episode.
realize you always have odd bells ringing in your head, and it wasn't anything.
My dad's listening. That's weird to say. Okay, let's see here. So, Elisa Lamb was a. Let's see here. Which school did she go to? She was a 21-year-old Canadian college student, and she was found dead in the water tank at the notorious Cecil Hotel in Los Angeles in 2013. So this wasn't that long ago, but 2013. To this day, nobody knows how she died or how her body got there. When they say how her body got there, let me tell you more. So she was in, let's see here. She was visiting just for personal reasons, like touristing in LA. And she was so, her parents were so worried about her going on her own that the agreement was, okay, you can go and have this like personal vacation if you check in with us every day, which she did. She called them and talked to them every day, and the parents verified that. So to this day, nobody knows exactly how Elisa Lamb died. We know that she was in LA on January 31st, but the hotel that she was found in had only a couple pieces of information. One was an elevator footage where she was showing some odd behaviors, which is what you were talking about in your podcast episode. Yeah.
Yeah, there was some theories that she was trying to play the elevator game.
Yeah. Okay. That's how it came up. So that's a good point. Okay, we'll come back to that. So
Let's
there's
circle back.
been many theories that have emerged since, but what happened was they ended up having people reporting in the hotel that their water tasted funny and that it was coming out black. And they
Barf.
ended, right? And they, so obviously people in the hotel are drinking this water. And they go and they investigate the water tanks at the top on the roof of the Cecil Hotel. And in order to even get inside of it, they actually had to cut a big hole because when they opened it, they found her body. And the top entry hole for the water tank was too small to be able to pull her body out. So they had to cut a hole to get her body out. And she was found naked with her clothes in the tank with her. She was bloated, had turned green. So people had been drinking her dead body water.
No, thank you.
No?
I do
Maybe.
not want to drink any dead body water at any point in my life.
Yeah, pretty gross. So it's really been a mystery about how she ended up in there, and the elevator footage became a big source of ideas and conspiracy theories for what was happening. And actually, your conspiracy theory is one that didn't come up in my research. So that's an interesting tie-in. So the
Everything's
coroner.
connected.
Yeah, the coroner's
Did you watch
office.
it though? Did
I
you watch
did.
that? Isn't
Yeah,
it odd?
I'm gonna play it again for us here in a minute. So the coroner's office ruled her death as an accidental drowning, and The horrible part about this is that this accidental drowning, what they found was that there was no way for her to access the roof from inside the building. She would have had to have a key from one of the staff members to be able to exit one of those secure doors. The only other way that she could have accessed it was through the emergency stairs, the fire exits on the outside of the building. She still would have had to go out a window to get on those and then go up. There was no evidence found that she had left a window, but that's what they're saying is that they would have had to go up that way if it was not a staff member in the hotel. And then the next part is, have you actually seen the water tanks?
Yeah, I
Yeah.
have.
Okay. Yeah. So there's like the four water tanks, two, or sorry, yeah, two and two. And the like if I saw these, I would not look at them and go, oh, that's a water tank. I wouldn't think that. They
No, they're
look
kind of
like,
small.
yeah, they're kind of small. They look
Yeah.
like cylinders. I don't know. I can even think like, I don't know, maybe something electrical is in there. I have no idea. And so some theorize that she killed herself and dropped herself in there or as an accident, but she would have had to have known that these were water tanks. She would have had to get up onto the roof that had very limited access. And then the cover on these water tanks were very heavy. So they said she would have had to get in, pull the cover over to close the lid. And then again, her clothes were off of her and like floating nearby her. So she got in, stripped naked, and then closed the lid or vice versa.
That
So
doesn't
there's,
make any sense.
right? Like it's just, it doesn't make sense at all. And her family, after all this happened, tried to sue the Cecil Hotel for wrongful death. And the hotel said, well, there's no way that we would have known that she could have accidentally got in there. Like, it's so odd that we couldn't have covered that. So it ended up getting dismissed. So the family has had no retribution about anything regarding their daughter's case, which is
Is
really
there
sad.
an official cause of death, or is it just
Accidental
a
drowning.
result? Accidental drowning. Okay.
Yeah,
So
accidental
no
drowning.
foul play, no homicide,
No.
homicide.
So on February 19th, 2 weeks after that video was published, which will actually let's do this video footage first, but before I show it, she's acting rather strange on the elevator. You'll see kind of some pixelated footage where she's seen stepping into the elevator. She starts pushing all the floor buttons. So you can see she goes, you can watch her go one, two, three, four. She presses four buttons. And then she stops, and then she does some like looking outside the elevator, and she kind of looks alarmed, and then she steps all the way out, and then back in, and she kind of hides in the corner for a minute. So I'm gonna play this, and we'll give our dialogue as we watch it. We'll post it on our Facebook. Feel free to add us, Deeply Disturbing Things on Facebook.
You got to
Okay.
go to the group, though. That's where all the insider info is posted.
Yes, the insider info. Okay, so before this starts, I am going to share my screen with you, Naomi, so you can see.
Oh,
Okay?
thank you, Macy.
You're welcome. All right, here we go. Can you
Hide
see?
all your porn tabs.
I don't do that. Okay, ready? Here we
I'm
go.
ready.
Okay. So, I'm going to have you narrate.
Okay, so the door opens and she comes in
She's wearing a red
and
hoodie.
she's crouching down, pressing a lot of buttons. First of all, why are the buttons so low that a person has to crouch to press
That's
them?
okay, pause though. I don't think she had to crouch. Like, look at this. I'm gonna back it up. She bends all the way out. She's eye level at those buttons. I never put my face by the buttons, right?
They're really low buttons.
Yeah, but they're
These
always
aren't.
kind of at your waist. They're not up at your face level.
I don't think buttons should be crotch level ever. So now she's like looking out. She totally looks
Paranoid,
like
like
she's
scared.
either hiding from somebody, looking for somebody. Now she's hiding in the corner of the elevator. So she darts out, she looks around, and then she jumps back in, hides. Now she's leaning out again, looking. So there's obviously some other entity that she's interacting with, either real or imagined. So now she's carefully stepping out.
I'm pausing. Why is this elevator door not closing? This really is confusing to me because she has pressed all these elevator door buttons and the elevator's not closing.
So I'm wondering, and I'm sure a deep Reddit knows this, I'm wondering if she pressed the one that says, like, stop the elevator. You know how there's always those? Like,
yeah, but you can see the buttons that she's pressing here. So watch, when she gets in.
I know, but I can't tell if she's pressing one of those.
You know. She did press the button right above that. It'd be interesting to know what that button was. She pressed the button at the top of all the lit buttons and then hit 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, so
we need somebody to break it down for
us. Break down that, yeah.
Skills. That can like clear up the view. You know how people do that.
Right here too. It almost looks like she's smiling. Like, look, when she's hiding right there, that moment in the corner, her cheeks.
Like she's playing a hide and seek game with somebody.
Yes,
like it's
exactly.
Fun.
Yeah. So right here confused me because she seemed like very calm initially. And then she looked a little scared. And then, but here when she's hiding in the corner, she's hiding, she looks serious. And then right there, her cheekbones raise. And I think she smiled. And it's hard to tell because the video is pixelated. And again, we're going to post this and I want you to watch it and tell us what you think. So she's looking out, she's getting nervous, stepping out. And then she jumps out. Now look what she does with her legs. She did like a wide stance, which seemed bizarre to me, right?
No, it looked like a little choreographed move, almost like a DDR thing.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, and it also looked like she had seen something.
Something.
Made her do that. Like, look, she was reacting to something. Right there where she stands up.
She sees.
I would do that if I was playing a game and saw somebody that I was playing a game with. I'd be
I
like,
saw
oh.
something, and I step back. Yeah.
Yeah, and then she goes out of the camera view. So who knows what's happening there?
Yeah, and she's just standing. She puts her arms up. You see her elbow up right there?
Yeah, so she could be talking to somebody right there that we don't know that is out of the video shot.
Mm-hmm. And then
I wonder if these people that are at this hotel knew that video in the elevator and they were informed, because how much sex have they filmed in this elevator?
Probably a lot. So I wanted to pause here. Look at her face as she's coming in the elevator.
She's like holding her face like she got hit in the head, maybe.
Yeah, like she looked like she was saying something mid-sentence into the turn. And then stopped, and then she goes and presses the buttons again all the way down. But she seems to have a pattern.
And then right. She just so people that are familiar with the elevator game, I mean, she's not doing it right at all.
She's not? Okay.
That's no, so know. If the elevator theory is accurate, maybe she is actually in the other world and is just confused and trying to get out, you know?
Yeah, maybe.
You're still screen sharing with me, by the way.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I was trying to, there you go. Okay. So, and then she goes back out and then she starts doing these hand movements.
Which also looks a little bit to me like the hand flapping you might see in autism spectrum disorder.
Yeah, and she is diagnosed with bipolar disorder and is on medication for that.
But that doesn't do hand flapping.
No, it doesn't. There's nothing that, and she had a little bit of alcohol in her system, 0.02, very, very minimal. And then she had ibuprofen in her system, some sort of nasal spray, nothing major, and
so
no other drugs. Nothing.
No Molly.
Nope. No other drugs were found in her.
No PCP.
No.
No Special K.
Nope.
Right.
No. Yeah, so nothing. And then she leaves and she's outside. So there's like a big gap here. There's reportedly 2 minutes missing from the video. Did you find that in your recording when you
I don't remember that.
So yeah, there's about 2 minutes.
So the door just stays open this whole time. That's weird.
No, yeah, and then it closes. So right here, so at two, she leaves the elevator at, let's see here, at 2.5 minutes into the video. And then the door stays open this whole time. Now I'll tell you listening when it closes. But see, all the buttons are still lit. Mm-hmm. And from her pressing it that last time, and then it actually closes at, let's see here. Oh, there, it's coming up. So the door, I don't want to move it on my own because I want to see it naturally there. So the door then closes with all of the buttons lit up and then goes. And then it goes up. But look, it didn't change floors. The elevator then door just opened again with nobody there.
And then is that it? She doesn't come back into the video again?
No, she doesn't come back into it. And the elevator is just sitting here. Oops, I hit a button. The elevator just sits there at the end, opening and closing.
So to give viability to the elevator game theory, I mean, it does look like she's talking to somebody. And so maybe she's talking to the lady that you're not supposed to talk to. Remember,
maybe.
Don't look at her. Don't speak to her. Those were the instructions.
So I'm under the impression that she was murdered. Just to give my side out there. So this video was released and...
Stop screen sharing with me. I don't want spoilers.
Oh, stop it. There you go. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So 2 weeks after that video was published by authorities, maintenance workers, Santiago Lopez found the body floating in one of the hotel's water tanks. So the video was released trying to figure out where she went before they found her body. They made the discovery after responding to complaints from hotel patrons who said the water pressure was low, weird taste in the water.
Oh,
So a statement by the chief of the LA Fire Department said the tank in which Lamb's body was found had to be drained completely and then cut open from the side to remove her 5'4" frame. Nobody knows how her corpse, floating lifelessly next to the same clothes she wore in the surveillance video, ended up in the hotel's water tank, or who else might have been involved. Hotel staff told authorities that she was always seen by herself around the hotel and was never with anybody else. And at least one person did see Lamb soon before her death at a nearby shop, eerily named The Last Bookstore. The owner, right? Owner Katie Orphan was among the last to see Elisa Lamb alive. She remembered the college student buying books and music for her family back in Vancouver. And she said it seemed like she planned to go home. She planned to give these gifts to her family members. And she even made a mention about the weight of the books and like having to carry them on the rest of her trip. So I found that interesting because like if you were planning something, like if this was a planned suicide attempt or something of the like, you wouldn't be purchasing things to give to family, in my opinion.
Right. That's a lot of future orientation.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. One thing though too, when she was in the hostel, so in the hotel, she was actually in a hostel-like room where she was staying with other roommates. And after 2 days, she had to be switched rooms because the roommates said that she had odd behavior. So she was then moved. So that's interesting because she did have bipolar disorder, but her parents didn't say anything about her behaviors as being normal or something that was like to be expected.
Have they ever interviewed any of her friends that knew her that could say whether or not she had behaviors like what we see in the elevator video?
Well, from everything that's been said, that behavior was very odd and did not match what she, because her parents came to LA to talk about her disappearance, and there was nothing said about her behavior being like that's being normal.
How old was she? 21?
21, so she's pretty young.
So, I mean, it could be her first psychotic break.
Could be. So that was another theory, was that she had a psychotic break. One thought to me was, so in the water tank, they didn't find any cues of sexual, or sorry, any evidence of sexual abuse, or anything a lot, like any like skin damage or anything that would say that she was harmed in any way, or even that she tried to kill herself. So there were flaws with that, though, when they tried to get the reports from the like the rape test, the rape test kit. They didn't have the actual data, and they didn't have anything saying that it was negative. They just reported that it was negative. So there's some holes behind that as well that don't settle well, especially with the parents, for either poorly managing the autopsy results. All of it just was not handled.
So there
well.
Could be evidence of some kind of assault, sexual or otherwise, and we just don't have answers for that.
Yeah, they did find, and they said this could have happened from bloating, but her anal cavity was protruded, which some say could have been a sign of sexual abuse. Others say that could have been bloating that made that happen, but again, who really knows? Not clear, especially without a clear sex kit report. Sex rape kit. So a lot of people kept pointing to her diagnosis, having depression, bipolar disorder, not taking medications properly, but from everything the report showed as far as her toxicology screenings, she was taking everything as prescribed. And I can speak to just bipolar disorder and depression, and you can too, Naomi. Those aren't typical behaviors for those diagnoses, right?
No, not at all.
Those are both mood disorders, not behavioral, like where you're doing things with your hands, or definitely not a...
Right. I mean, if there was some mania going on, I don't think it would look like that.
What's interesting too is she didn't contact her parents that day at all. So she had contacted her parents every single day up to that day. And that was the other thing that I'm leaning towards, that she was murdered. They couldn't find her phone. It wasn't in the tank and it wasn't in her room. For somebody who was like that on it with talking to her parents every day and being alone, you would think she'd have her phone with her all the time.
Oh, they never found her phone?
No.
That's probably evidence on there.
Well, yeah. And if you think about it, like, she was in a foreign city at a hotel. Where else would her phone be? It'd be in her room or on her person.
So if she was murdered, how do we think this went down?
So in the murder theory, I was thinking even the video could have been like if she was sexually molested or raped even before that video was taken, and she was could have been in shock, was one of my thoughts. If, you know, she already has mental health conditions and then she's sexually assaulted and to who knows to what degree, and then is trying to get away and is disoriented and in shock, that could possibly explain her behavior in the elevator. And then somebody could have came and found her. She, you know, she could have escaped. She could have, they could have let her go and then found her later. And so she was acting erratic because of that. And then they took her body. It could have been a staff member who took her body up there.
It does seem like she's interacting with somebody in that video. That you
right?
Can't see.
Like she's
somebody
talking
outside
to somebody.
The video. Mm-hmm.
Yep, in the hallway. So a lot of things that just don't make sense and are pretty scary. So the breakdown pointed at three key observations. So she did take, in that toxicology report, she took one antidepressant that day. She had taken her second antidepressant and mood stabilizer recently, but not that day, so before, and had not taken her antipsychotic recently. These conclusions suggested that she had not taken her medications properly, but still she was still within a few days of taking her meds the way they should have been. I don't know. It still doesn't make sense to me, but for that big of a swing for medications.
Right. We don't,
because it stays in your system for a little while.
I mean, those are some really bizarre behaviors she was exhibiting in that elevator.
So
I mean, it goes from fearful to playful. Like, there's a whole range of things going on.
Yeah, exactly. And so they do talk about like manic side effects, and would that possibly be part of it? Like, and I could see manic episodes, but like those weren't reported by her parents either as being a common thing or something that happened for her.
And I just, you know, in my work, I just don't see it manifesting like that. It's more, you know,
you see a series of behaviors.
Yeah, like the shopping or the, you know, getting too ambitious and overcommitting to stuff.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I opened up 7 different credit cards because I realized I could purchase all these things and no one would know. But there's some like level of insight there. Like, it's not completely oblivious.
Right.
Because she seems kind of out of it, but still reacting to things in the video. So it's important to note that, like, a lot of people are leaning on her mental health side, but I do think that just because her behavior is bizarre, there's a lot of things that can make that happen, such as trauma, or even, like you said, the elevator game. You know, she could have been bored and playing the elevator game and, you know, something creepy happened.
So with the people leaning on the mental health, and they're leaning on the suicide theory, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, they're leaning on that because of the odd behavior, that the roommate's forcing her to be moved to a private room by herself. They're saying that their behavior was strong enough for her to not be in a room with other people.
You know what, though? I don't like rooming with other people ever. So maybe that roommate was just antisocial like me and just wanted her own room.
So, well, that's the whole thing. It's like, okay, fine. Even if it was mental health issues, how did she end up dead? How did she end up in the water tank with the lid closed in a place that she would have had no access to?
How did she know there was water tanks up there?
How did she even know it was a water tank? Like, if it wasn't labeled for me in the picture, I wouldn't have known that's what it was.
So it's like, a lot of work.
If I was going to kill myself and I was at the top of the building, I would jump. That would be my first thought, not, oh, I wonder what's in there. Oh, it's water. Like, that's a lot of steps.
That's a really good point, Macy. It's a very complicated method for somebody did she have a history of suicidal ideation?
No.
Okay, so that's a very complex method and plan for somebody, I think, and I don't understand how she would have known how to access these outside access. You know, you had to go out of the building and do these fire escape things, and how she would have known that there's water tanks up there. I mean, one way or the other.
And I just wanted to show this
is involved.
I wanted to show you this picture, Naomi, of her in her graduation gown from school, like pinching the cheek of her friend, and she's smiling. Like, she
That's so looks cute. Like
a normal, friendly, happy young woman. Yeah.
That's
so
adorable.
I don't buy that she did this to herself at all. Okay, so I stopped sharing that, right?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So there was no foul play evidence, but the coroner's office noted that they were unable to do a full examination because they could not examine the blood from the decomposing body. So there were some aspects that they couldn't access. Go ahead.
I would say most suicides that we have to deal with in our work are impulsive.
Yeah.
Not these very difficult, complex, premeditated plans.
So the hotel fought back against the lawsuit, filing a motion to dismiss it, saying that there's no reason to think that someone would be able to get into the water tank, which, you know, kind of fair. But based on the court statement from the hotel's maintenance staff, the hotel's argument is not entirely far-fetched. So Santiago Lopez, who was the first to find the body, described that it was a ton of effort to find her body. So it took the elevator to the 15th floor of the hotel before walking up the staircase to the roof. Then had to first turn off the rooftop alarm and climb up the platform where the hotel's four water tanks were located. And again, nobody reported that there was like an alarm or anything that day. Finally, he had to climb another ladder to get on top of the main tank. And after all that, that's when you notice the hatch to the main water tank was kind of pulled open. And he looked inside and saw her laying face up in the water, approximately 12 inches from the top of the tank. So it was a lot of effort. She would have had to have a ladder to even get to the top of the tank. It's also a lot of effort to hide a body, but if you know that's where you're at, it's probably the best place to hide a body.
Because if you worked there, you would know how,
How to get out.
infrequent it's checked and how hard it is to access. So you would probably have a lot of time to make a getaway or cover your tracks. So maybe somebody that worked there or somebody that knew somebody that worked there and had some insider information.
So, do you know about the Cecil Hotel? Because this hotel actually has a really kind of chilling backstory
I know a
without
little bit, but I don't
just a
want
little.
to
That's
ruin
okay.
your
No,
story.
you're fine. So, as I was looking into this, this hotel has actually had 16 non-natural deaths and unexplained paranormal events in this hotel since 1927 when it opened. The most famous deaths associated with this hotel, other than Lamb's, was the 1947 murder of actress Elizabeth Short, aka the Black Dahlia, who is reportedly seen drinking at the hotel bar in the days before her death. Did you know about that one? That one that
I
you knew?
did know about that one, yeah.
The hotel has also hosted some of famous serial killers. Richard Ramirez, 1985. He spent a whole year in that hotel during the period when he was known as the Night Stalker was active. And he,
Remember, I talked about the Night Stalker because my
yeah,
stepdad got hauled off a plane because
because he looked
he
like
looks
him.
exactly like the sketch.
Yeah. So he lived on the top floor of the hotel, not your relative, sorry. Richard Ramirez.
Actual
And
Night Stalker.
yeah, the story goes that after a murder, he would dump his bloody clothes outside the hotel, return half naked, and the hotel was kind of pretty not ran very well back then, that really nobody cared back in the day.
I don't think it's in a very good neighborhood.
Yeah, that's from what I heard. Like when they did the police interviews, like the media that was asking questions are like, did anyone warn her about being alone in this area? So obviously it's something that they were concerned about.
Well, I think if she's from Canada, she probably looked it up online and, it probably looked great online. They crop out all the crime and
Yeah, and
just
probably pretty
show
cheap.
the cute stuff.
Yeah. So after that, so 6 years after Richard Ramirez left there was another murderous patron who was Jack Unterweger. Let's see if I can say this right. Unterweger. He was the Vienna Strangler.
Ooh, that
Yeah.
name sounds very Viennese.
Viennese. So yeah, he was also killing people during that period while he was staying in the hotel. So it's actually a landmark in Los Angeles. The hotel was given the distinction because of being opened in the 1920s as a lodging industry in the US. So it's actually has historic props.
I'm gonna go there next time I go down to LA.
I was about to say, it sounds like it'd be a fun trip to like
If we
stay in
ever get out of
the
lockdown,
hotel. Ooh,
I'm gonna go there.
can we do the scary elevator game there?
I will be shitting my pants the entire time,
But we should.
but give me a couple shots of tequila and I'll do
Okay.
it.
Okay,
As long
deal.
as you hold my hand.
Yeah. So there's been a lot of different like movies and stuff that have stemmed from this, but one of the American Horror Story Hotel was an adaptation
Oh, was
from
it?
that. Yeah.
Oh,
So
that was
there's
the
been a
Lady
few.
Gaga one, right?
Yeah, the really weird one.
I never finished that one.
It was really
one
weird.
Of my favorites.
No, it was one that I was like, I have to feel awkward watching this with my mom. So I don't know. It was weird.
There was a lot of boobalage.
Yeah. So they said that that season was inspired by a surveillance video from the hotel. So it was inspired by the elevator scene.
Interesting.
Yeah. So more recently, a gaming studio came under fire after using the game. Let's see here. A postmodern RPG found undeniable resemblances to the Lamb's Case in their storyline. So they like built it in to their storyline. And in 2016 interview with Waypoint, co-founder of the studio said that there still hasn't been a great official story about her. I remember on the local news, they reported it. Basically, like, they heard about it, and it gets, I don't know, it sounds like fiction because it's so out there. But, yeah, still, I mean, they said it's accidental drowning, but I say it's still unsolved.
I'd say it's still unsolved, too.
You do not accidentally drown under all of those conditions.
No, I just think there's too many unanswered questions, and it just hasn't been solved to the satisfaction of most people out there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. And I don't think that they did a good job investigating it or doing really anything to help the family. They tried, but they didn't. There's no interviews. I couldn't find interviews from, like you said, friends or people in the hotel or staff members other than just really vague and minimal stuff. So, yeah. So that is the story, and we'll post the video of her in the elevator on the Facebook page so you guys can take a look and let us know what you think. And I'll post the water tanks as well so you can see it.
Mysterious and disturbing.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
All right. Your turn.
Well, I guess our stories have a loose connection because Elisa Lam was Chinese.
Yes.
And my story is about ancient China.
Ooh, yeah, ancient, I see your background there.
Ancient China secret, which I can say because I'm half Chinese, damn it. My background has nothing to do with my topic. I just really quick before I got on with you, Googled China and that's what came up. So I put that there. Statues, they're like underground statues in a tomb. That's my background. But I'm not talking about that.
Okay.
I am going to talk about the ancient body mod practice of foot binding.
Ooh.
I know, right?
Yeah.
So I have really big feet. What's the size of your feet?
7.5.
Yeah, you have tiny little cute feet.
I'm going to say cute.
I have big feet. I mean, they're not the biggest. I have size 9. But, you know, always growing up, I always felt like I had pretty big feet. You know,
I have small feet. I know my dad is fighting right now, making fun of my feet publicly, and he's internally tormented at the moment of should I make fun of my daughter publicly or not. Yep.
Why?
Do you have
ugly feet? Do you have a foot issue?
I can't say.
I always had really pretty feet, but then all the, you know, years and years of roller skating kind of put permanent nubs on my feet. And then I got the fucking toenail fungus from the goddamn nail salon. And now my feet aren't cute anymore.
I don't think I've ever gotten toe fungus. That's good.
I have not, ever since then, it's been like a year. I have not painted my nails since then. I'm like over it.
Oh, we had an episode around then because I talked about the dangers of nail polish.
Yeah, well, I'm living proof that it's dangerous. I'm au naturel now. So, yeah, I have big feet. Whenever I buy flip-flops or, you know, slippers, I always have to go with the L.
I always felt like derby skates were a little like foot binding because you tied them so tight and your toes get all scrunched together.
Well, what if you wore them all the time?
Yeah, that would suck.
in sizes that are five sizes too small for you, then you might be getting close to foot binding practices.
No, thank you.
So in old world China, small feet epitomized feminine beauty. So foot binding was a symbol of status and refinement. Small
You hear
feet, and
that,
the ideal was 3 inches. So I'm holding up my
What?
fingers. This is 3 inches
Like 3 inches wide?
long.
Wait,
Long.
long?
Long.
What the f what? Okay, so a
Long
3 inches
duck
long
dong. Long.
from toes
To
to
heel.
heel, 3 inches, 3.5 inches.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep, that was the highly desired size. That was the goal.
How?
So once we got into modern times, it was seen as barbaric. So the practice was banned in 1912, but it continued into rural areas into the 1940s. And the last factories that made the special shoes that would fit these little feet were closed in just 1999. And there are actually a few women left that are alive that have bound feet. So one of them that I saw in an interview was called Na Mei Ming. And she said, "My mother bound my feet around and around with big, long pieces of cloth, then sewn up with a needle very tight. She stitched it again and again, and then pushed my feet into soft bottom shoes that I wore even while sleeping. She tightly wrapped outside the cloth with sh shoes with cloth as well, sewn again with a needle. Over this, I wore hard bottom shoes." So that was a lady that was alive being interviewed just a couple years ago about her experience with her bound feet. So this was very painful for women, as you might imagine.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
So the process began when they were very young. So after they'd been walking and had their walking established, it was so between the ages of 3 and 5. And they had no say in the matter because they were so young. So it made it very difficult to walk. They couldn't walk as fast, but that didn't stop them from doing a lot of things. They didn't just, sit around and say walking is painful or hard. They worked in the fields, they cared for livestock, they danced, they rode bikes, they shopped, they cooked, they took care of their children, they even had jobs.
I can't even wear like heels without my feet just killing me. I have like where my big toe goes in more, so like heels hurt to
What do you
wear.
mean your big toe goes in more?
Well, it's like so the bone, if you look on an X-ray, the bone goes out.
Oh, you have like a part sticking out
Yeah, the
as it's
bone,
on your heels?
not on my heels, on my by my big toe.
I mean, on your high heels.
Oh, yeah.
So these women, even though they had these bound feet that were incredibly painful and impractical, they had this incredible agency and really figured out a way to make their lives meaningful and to do the things they were capable of doing. So, where did this start? The legend is that the practice started around the 10th century during the Song Dynasty and then continued over 1,000 years. 1,000. It's said to have been inspired by a 10th century court dancer who bound her feet into the shape of the new moon. And then she danced for the emperor on her toes inside a 6-foot golden lotus. So not only did she have the shape of her foot altered, but the shape of her foot made her walk in a way that made her rely on her like thigh and butt muscles for support. So I'm imagining kind of like
Like almost like a
walking
ballet
in,
dancer.
yeah, almost like in toe shoes. That's what I'm
A
imagining, but I'm
ballerina.
not sure. Yeah.
Yes.
So from the start, foot binding kind of had these erotic overtones to it. So after the emperor was so entranced and by this dancer and thought she was just so beautiful, so gradually ladies of the court with money took up foot binding. So then it became a status symbol among the elite. And so once it's a status symbol among the elite, everybody is going to want to copy this because, especially in rural areas, this could be seen as a way to help your daughter to advance their station by making them viable for marriage and more attractive. So,
So
I
wait,
mean, we have.
how does that go down? Do they examine their feet, or are they just barefoot all the time? No, but they wear little shoes. Is it just shoe size that the men look at?
I think they're probably highly judged. I mean, just from what I know about ancient China from Amy Tan novels,
I was
I'm
gonna say, I'm gonna
imagining.
sound really bad here and just like every, I don't know, the first reference that comes up in my mind was only Mulan of when they line the women up and they're like dressing up for the men. That's all I'm
I mean, I'm imagining
thinking
that
of. It's very, very not a good
there's a
reference.
prospective husband, you know, there's matchmakers, and whoever's doing the match is like completely judging the foot size of the prospective bride, you know, and it's part of the barter.
Do you
It's
think
like,
that
oh,
the
she's has these 3-inch shoe feet, so she's more valuable as a bride.
I need your feet to look smaller so my penis looks bigger. Is that
Probably. God, I keep saying it, but what if women had run the world from the beginning? How different things would be. There'd probably be a lot more penis stretching strategies that we'd be talking about right now.
I think it'd be like required sexual training.
Required cunnilingus training. With some anatomy lessons, some very important anatomy lessons.
Yes.
I'm sorry your dad is listening to this
I
right
know, it's fine. Sorry, Dad.
now. So, I mean, think about like modern times. Like, it's, we might think like, oh, that's so barbaric, but I mean, think how popular like booty implants are right now and how horrific that is. Like,
There's a
it's not
lot of
that
horrific
different.
things, yeah, that I mean, injecting your child with Botox and putting them in a pageant, like another culture 1,000 years from now is going to be like, what the hell were these people
Exactly.
doing? They were parading them around to be judged and injecting
Yes.
them and painting them up like a geisha.
Making 3-year-olds look like 40-year-olds. That's
Yeah.
not problematic.
Or
Yeah, like,
sexual. No.
you know, I mean, boob jobs aren't that popular anymore. It's kind of been taken over by, you know, butt jobs. But I mean, boob jobs were really popular in the day.
Yeah, I've got some booty. If someone needs it attached to their butt, I can take it. It's fine.
And, you know, think about all the shaving we do on a regular basis. It's expensive,
That
it's
was just
time consuming.
poorly lined up after talking about butts and then shaving.
There might be some areas of the butt that need shaving on occasion.
You're making the men in here raise an eyebrow.
Good, they can fucking raise an eyebrow. We're doing it because we have to live up to these unreachable, unrealistic standards put out there by the media telling us that that's what we have to do to please those motherfuckers so they can raise all the eyebrows they want.
Yeah, nobody's shaving that much in quarantine right now.
So, I mean, we can say like that this is free choice because these are adults and that you know, the
Well,
girls with the foot binding didn't really have a say. But I mean, if
exactly.
you look at it from a big societal standpoint, do
It
we
was
really have
cultural.
free choice? Yeah. I mean, I think societal pressures
I don't
might
think we have
limit
enough
our free
time to
will.
get, yeah, we don't have enough time to get philosophical about it, but yeah,
I just wanted to
free
throw that in
will.
a little bit. Two
Yeah,
sentences.
that's good. No, that's good.
So here's a picture of an adult bound foot unwrapped. Can you see that?
still post it. No, I can't because of your background.
Oh my god, I really want you to see it. Why is sure. Zoom's green screen so shit?
It's so good, is what you're saying. I can see your fingernails. They look
never
lovely.
Mind. Never mind.
I've seen a bound foot before. I'll look one up now. Go ahead.
You have to look one up that's like naked.
Wait, the person or the foot? Naked the bound foot.
I mean, I don't know if you need to put the naked word in your search. You might come up with something.
Unexpected. I did. I did.
Welcome.
Oh my god! Don't search for that.
I wasn't going to. Why would you never put the word naked in any Google search? That's just a rule, Macy.
Naked bound foot is apparently a sexual fetish. Don't look it up. My bad.
Oh, is it like a BDSM thing?
It's a BDSM thing. Now that's going to come up in my Google search.
I can't wait to see what kind of things come up in your shopping sidebar.
There was a lot of leather and ball gags. Goodness. Sorry. Go on.
So, like I mentioned, and we can imagine, it was an extremely painful practice. So, first, the girl's feet were plunged into hot water and the toenails were clipped short. Then the feet were massaged and oiled before all the toes, except the big toes, were broken.
Oh.
And bound flat against the sole. So they were folded down underneath.
No.
Against the sole of the foot, making a triangle shape.
Ow! I don't like it.
Then the arch was strained and the foot was double bent.
Oh, these poor
children. So the arch of the foot, I mean, almost looks as if it was broken up. I don't think it was broken, but it may have been in certain cases if it was extra forceful. So finally the feet were bound in place using a silk strip measuring about 10 feet long and 2 inches wide. These wrappings were briefly removed every couple day to prevent blood and pus from infecting the foot. So it was unwrapped and cleaned every couple days. Sometimes excess, quote unquote, excess flesh was cut away or encouraged to rot away. Because if it folded and, you know, the anatomy of your foot didn't make it into this little teeny exact design, then there might be extra. I mean, some people have, you know,
French feet. I was just thinking, like, you back then would have been horrified. They would have broke every bone in your large feet.
Oh, there's no chance I was getting a husband. So the girls were forced to walk long distances in order to, so the arches were broken. So they did want the arches to break. So they were forced to walk initially to get those arches broken. And then over time, the wrappings were tighter and the shoes smaller as the heel and sole were crushed together so that the heel and the foot and the sole of the foot came together.
So they just broke all the bones.
Into one foot glob.
Just a mush. Mush foot.
So after 2 years, the process was complete, and it created a deep cleft in the bottom of the foot that could hold a coin in place. So once a foot had been crushed and bound, the shape could not be reversed without a woman overgoing the same pain again. So the shoes that the adult woman would wear were very ornate, were very pretty. They're called Lotus shoes. You can buy them on eBay. So the perfect bound foot and the most desirable was that 3-inch long foot. And again, think about how long 3 inches is. It's not long. Can you imagine walking on a 3-inch foot?
No. Nope. I'd fall over. I would be like a weeble wobble. I'd just like go back and forth.
You'd wobble and fall down.
Yeah, I would fall.
So these 3-inch ideal feet were called golden lotuses. If by some chance you ended up with a 4-inch long foot, Those were called Silver Lotuses.
Oh,
And
so they even had
then,
like a rating system. Okay.
oh, fuck yeah. And then if you were the unfortunate girl that had a 5-inch or longer clunker,
Oh, gosh.
those were called the Iron Lotuses.
Oh,
And
poor girls.
marriage prospects for an Iron Lotus clad girl were very dim. And I know I would have been an Iron Lotus footed girl.
Well, and going back to, we talked a bit about what the lotus flower meant and how like it's kind of a rebirth, renewal concept, but like when this in when Buddha supposedly stepped out onto the ground, every footstep he left grew lotus flowers.
But he probably had normal sized feet.
I assumed they were giant.
He didn't have a little 3-inch little
Lotus.
hoof.
Yeah, like what guy, what sick man made this fetish
The
a norm for 1,000 years?
emperor of the Song Dynasty. And
Oh,
because there was so much, poor people
weird.
in all these rural areas that like this could be the one thing that could get their daughter into a higher station. Of course they're going to latch onto it because it's something
Yeah.
you have control over, kind of like, I'm going to bound the fuck out of my daughter's foot and
Yeah,
maybe
and
she'll get
like
out of here.
culturally that makes so much sense, but the origin is just messed up that it's like one dude has so much power that he can say, I sexually like this, therefore everybody is going to do this to try to show some sort of power, authority, beauty, whatever.
Do you feel like Kanye's to blame for all the butt implants that have happened in the last 5 years?
I really have a thing against him as a person. I don't like him. I don't
Have
know
you
about
seen all the
butt implants.
failed booty implant
No.
photos? That's another thing not to Google. It's horrible. It's like these
Do you get
women are
lopsided booty?
basically getting space junk and injected into their ass, and then it's all lumpy, bumpy, and like falling down their thighs and uneven. It
Ew.
just looks horrible. It looks like very early boob implants. Remember how they were just all
Like
lumpy, bumpy,
they
and
didn't have the right material or
uneven? And yeah, like maybe one would like fall down into your stomach area a little bit on the side and
whatever.
exploding asses. Like, there's it's so wrong. Like,
Oh.
I think women just love the ass you have. Big, small, whatever. Just love it. It's your
Let's
ass.
rephrase. Men love the ass you are lucky enough to get.
Lucky. That's right. Be
Lucky.
thankful. Be thankful for the ass in your life. Everybody, men, women, let's all be thankful for the ass we have.
Power to the gal.
Ours or others. So this small foot thing in China, I mean, just another beauty ideal that tortured women. Are there beauty ideals that torture men?
Well, I mean, I do think that they're held to beauty standards, but like being muscular and having like the, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I did hear that the Walking Dead guy Daryl did get pec implants.
Did
That's what
he?
I
Yeah, I
heard.
could see that. I could see like chin and cheek implants, perhaps like hair, like potentially like not being able to have receding hairlines or being bald.
Yeah, but I don't think it's the same pressure. Like, I think men, for the most part, are allowed to age and are
I think it
allowed
depends.
to.
I think it depends what it looks like, and I think that's been tailored so much by them being able to afford looking attractive at any
That's true.
age.
We might not know what they really look like.
Yeah, that's what I'm
Like,
betting on.
I'm John Travolta for some reason keeps flashing into my mind.
How is that the standard?
No, it's just that I think that he's had the money to sort of
Oh,
hide the normal aging.
yeah.
I'm pretty sure he has hair implants
Oh, I'm
and that
sure.
kind of thing, and probably some facial
Botox.
resurrection or whatever it's called. That's called Resurrection.
Facial resurrection. That's great.
Maybe that's what it should be called. Yeah. Resurrecting your face from the dead.
Lifting that booty.
So the little waist thing came up.
Real fast, you did a post or a series a long time ago, Rumpology. Rumpology. Would that having a fake booty, having butt implants, would that disqualify you?
I think it would. How can you get an accurate reading when you don't know the real
shapeature,
roadmaps, the real geography of the ass?
Yeah, because like, especially like if you've had moles removed, or if you don't, you know, if you're shaving and bleaching and plumping, like that's really not your butt. That butt does not say your life.
I mean, in Bridesmaids, they talked about asshole bleaching. Is that a real thing, or is that Hollywood fiction?
That's real. They also bleach their hoo-ha as well.
Why would you? I don't understand that.
Because of beauty standards saying that having a dark area is not pretty or attractive.
But it's your brown eye. It's supposed to be brown.
Which is obviously incorrect and a total beauty standard. Like, who even knows that? Like, unless you randomly Google naked bound foot.
Don't do it.
They're going to be tempted. Someone will do it tonight, I guarantee you.
I would say shaving is probably the thing that bugs me the most, that I feel like I don't really want to do it, but I feel like I have to. I would say that's
like shaving your legs and your armpits.
Yeah, and my pits and the side of my bikini area, so it's not just this whole fluff tundra coming out.
Fluff tundra. Yeah. No, I agree. I think the social norm is pretty strong with shaving your legs and armpits. And you can see, because like even like stars, like celebrities who do that and let it grow naturally, they get a lot of shit for it.
And you know, like a lot of young people have stopped doing that, and I think that's cool. But I think because I came of age in the 80s, when all that like shaving and boob jobs and all that stuff was very popular, it's just tough for me to kind of let that go, I guess. But I think it's a pain in the ass. It's expensive. Razors are fucking expensive.
I have to say, the longer I'm alone in my house, like, and like not worried about it, like more, like less and less get shaved for longer periods
of
time.
Really, probably since I started dating Paul. Sorry, Paul. I just really just don't care about the landscaping down there as much. Like,
no, that means you're comfortable.
Not important to me. Like, like that actually doesn't bother me. So I've been like letting it go. But like the leg hair thing, it does bug me when it's all prickly. Like, I feel like I want to shave it off.
Yeah, I don't like how it feels. It'll, because I feel like I'll have to itch it, and I don't like that.
A long time ago, like when I was in my early 20s, did consider getting a boob job, because I've always been a member of the IBTC. But thank God I didn't. Because, like, I'm totally happy with my boobs now.
You'd be weird with
TMI. I'm not even wearing a bra today.
What?
One of the benefits to working from home and only being seen from the neck up.
It's wonderful. I have so many yoga pants and work outfit combos.
I did decide to put on pants today, though. I'm like, Naomi, you got to get your shit together. Come on.
I have to make it like at least appear correct, because I have this idea in my mind that someone's going to call me on it and be like, stand up. And then I'll have like sweatpants on or something. So I've been trying to like at least, you know, appear if I get called out that I have professional clothes on.
Good call.
Even though, to be fair, like, it's not like my clients are dressing up for me. Half of them are in bed, like talking to me sideways. So, you know, it's gotten more casual in the last few weeks.
I like that, though. I actually like telehealth better than in-person counseling. I think it's there's it's something almost like that a you journal. Can access that you can't in person. I think people are more comfortable.
I agree. Yeah, especially like folks who are more used to technology. I see them like open yes. up.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've gotten to meet pets. I've gotten to do tours of mm-hmm. the garden, like all kinds of stuff you wouldn't get in a regular counseling session.
I have a teen client that our check-in every week is he shows me his bedroom and I help guide him on how to clean it. And his mom loves it. For the first 5 minutes, we clean his room every time. It's been great.
You can't do that in traditional face-to-face counseling.
No, he would never listen to me. I say, put me on the floor, and then I direct him. I see a piece of garbage over there. There's a Fruit Loop under your bed.
I usually keep a very limited caseload size just because of my time. But honestly, if people were willing to just do telehealth, I would take on more clients. Like, I enjoy it.
It's great. I like it, too.
So maybe when people call me, I'll be like, only if we can never, ever meet in person. This is all you get. Neck up.
Neck up. If you ask me to stand, no.
It's not happening.
Informed consent will not stand on command.
That's right. You know the tiny waist thing?
Like yeah. That like the falls.
Yeah, that falls mm-hmm. into the same category.
People bind themselves, and that's really big in like the transgender community too, for trying to fit beauty standards, for like trying to not appear as big chested, things like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hips too.
I totally had like body issues when I was a young teenager because I read in some magazine that like you're supposed to be 36, 24, 36. I read that in some magazine and it like sunk into my very being, and then I'm like, oh, I need a tape measure. I'm like, shit, I'm not any of those numbers.
Very specific.
I'm much smaller on the top, and I'm much bigger in the middle and on the bottom. What does that fucking mean for me?
You look like a pear.
I'm a fucking pear. No pears in Vogue magazine in 1984. It just wasn't happening.
You weren't the hourglass.
No, not at all. I mean, my family, I'm happy now, but we got the booty, but we don't got the boobs. We're blessed on the bottom, but not on the top. But, you know, I'm happy with it now because I can run and I don't have back pain.
Yeah, there is no right or wrong body size for anything.
But, you know, coming up in the 80s, there definitely was a right or wrong.
But at this point, it's just an excuse because you're not in the 80s anymore.
Are you sure?
I don't know. I could be in a complete time warp at this point. Every day just blurs into the next. I have no idea.
It all blurs in, right? I think that's why I've been so exhausted working from home because, like, I can't have it. I don't have any boundaries between work and home life. Like, it's all just one big thing.
So I took today off from work, and because I felt like I needed a break, but it sucked because I still check my email because I'm here and it felt the same. And if it felt no different.
Exactly.
I wasted a PTO day because being at home is the same as when you're at home.
I felt the exact same thing. I had PTO on the Friday before last, and I felt like I had to check my email. Like, I could, like, my laptop's right there. Like, I should just check to see, is there something pressing? People might need me. I used to put off all the fucking chores all week and just let the dishes and laundry pile up and, like, take care of it on the weekend. And now I'm like, well, I guess I should walk away from my laptop and do some dishes or some laundry. So
I mowed the lawn. Blended. I mowed the lawn and it felt so good just to like, I'm doing a thing outside.
Do a thing. I'm yep. proud of you, Macy. Cheers.
Cheers.
Got my can of wine. I'm cheersing you.
I already drank mine. It's gone.
I'm proud of you for that too.
Thanks.
Well, that's all I got on that.
Cool. That was a good topic.
I wish I could have showed you the pictures of the little shoes because it looks like little doll shoes, but they're on like a woman. So
I will not look it up anymore. I've been traumatized.
I'll post it on our Facebook group.
Okay,
Insider
sounds good.
Secrets.
And I'll post the elevator.
Secrets.
I'm going to post the elevator video tonight. So if you're curious, listeners, you can go check it out. And until next time, Ditch Bitch is out.
Love yourself.